Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Dawn. Welcome to this 10th of November, my gathering here and awakening together. Welcome to everyone here. Happy Sunday. Good to see everybody here. I have Shauna here in my own house here in La Vida. She will be the reader today in the other room, just 10 feet from me. So let's just take a minute here and welcome everybody and write on the board a greeting of your heart to across the pew, so to speak, and playing our opening song. Thank you, Dawn.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
I love that song. Shanti Om, everybody. Peace. Spirit in me greets the spirit in you. So we are an assembly of equals here at Awakening Together, joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Not 7 billion, one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and rest in its embrace. And each week we highlight a core value, and the core value I picked for this week that I think really relates to the message is the third core value. We accept as one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. That's almost like a prayer. Amen. So for today, our announcements, we have four big announcements today. The first one is kind of a reminder that, more a statement really, that November is here and we're all thinking about holiday shopping, and Amazon is my favorite place to shop. So reminder both for myself and you to go to smile.amazon.com, put that little word smile in front of it so that you will be selecting Awakening Together as the charity that 0.05%, that's half of 1% of your purchase price of your total order goes to Awakening Together. You know, it doesn't cost us anything. This comes out of Amazon's profits. So Amazon pays for this to us. And so far, we've gotten $1,050 to Awakening Together. And that amount continues to increase as more members get into the habit of doing this at their Amazon shopping. Now, that's the highest amount I can ever recall it being. So it's just continuing to go up. So this is a thanks, Regina, for this reminder for me, too, because it's just easy to just forget and just go to Amazon and not put the smile in. So I'm really excited about that, and that's cool. I could just keep going up and up. Next announcement is about our movie group, facilitated this month by Ron Rates. Just to remind anyone that maybe doesn't realize, we actually have a whole team now of myself, Ron Rates, and George Maddox alternating, giving, facilitating the movie group every month. And Ron Rates is up. This will be the first time he will have facilitated the movie group. And the movie he selected is Shallow Hal, starring Jack Black as Hal Larson and Gwyneth Paltrow as Rosemary. Shallow Hal is a movie about a shallow man who, after an interaction with Tony Robbins, begins to see people's inner beauty on the outside. Shallow Hal is a hilarious comedy with meaning. Movie group will be held on Sunday, November 24th at 8 p.m. Eastern, so there's plenty of time to watch the movie and prepare to join the discussion. And I'll be sending out another email about that that also includes a play sheet this week. Our next announcement is regarding our retreats. There is one more Awakening Together retreat scheduled at the Retreat House this year. It's the Freedom from the Ego retreat from December 9th through 13th. At this retreat, you will become familiar with the unconscious ego messages that still affect you. Becoming aware of unconscious messages provides the opportunity to become free of them. This is an experiential 5-day retreat led by Regina Dawn Akers. To learn more about this and to register, go to awakeningtogether.org and look under retreats and classes on the retreats menu. So we've got one more retreat this year. Our last announcement is as an invitation to join us on November 17th at 7:30 Eastern for our November Awakening Together Satsang. Reverend Jacqueline Eckert will interview Natalie Gray for this satsang. Natalie describes herself as an ordinary being who spent a good part of her childhood and the first 25 years of her adult life searching for meaning and answers. This seeking took many forms, including practicing Catholicism, trying to find a calling, which was first as an actress, teacher, and life coach, attending self-help and awareness seminars, studying and initiation within various spiritual teachers and teachings, and using drugs. After coming to the realization that no one or no thing outside of her was going to provide the answers, an intense internal search for truth ensued. Natalie states that the end of seeking occurred in 2010. There were no more questions. There was no more need for answers. This was what was sought had been found. Upon hearing Natalie's Buddha at the Gas Pump interview, Reverend Jacqueline became intrigued with Natalie's journey and her message. Join us as Reverend Jacqueline learns more about both in this interview. And so I'm not too familiar with this particular teacher, Natalie Gray, but I will check out the Buddha at the Gas Pump interview, and maybe we can, I invite you guys to check that out too this week in preparation for the satsang. Because I think that helps too to give us questions that we can help with the satsang to pose questions and to be more interactive with our satsang guests to prepare. So I invite everyone to join in on that. I'm gonna definitely make a note and do that. So I look forward to that. So invocation prayer. We are now going to just go within, have a little prayer, and you can join me if you like in whatever manner you want. Dear God, infinite being and love, Holy Spirit, I open my heart and my mind to you. I trust the wisdom and guidance that comes from that one true source, and pray that may be my only guide that I listen to. I put my trust and my willingness to walk the path of purification and healing that makes the way clear for me to live eternally in presence and awareness with God. Amen. Okay, we're going to have our opening song. It's going to be played by Dawn. This is Lauren Daigle, Trust in You.
Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war. Tomorrow brings. There's not a day ahead you have not seen. So in all things be my life and breath. I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk.
Yes, one can never get enough of Lauren Daigle. Some songs you just can hear over and over again. And speaking of messages that are awesome, we've got our bright and shiny Reverend Shauna Summers here, who's had some really great breakthroughs lately. And I wanted to invite her to speak and give our reading. I couldn't think of a more perfect person for today. And she will be reading from NTI Romans chapter 14. Take it away, Shauna.
Okay. Anybody that wants to follow along, it's on page 280 it starts. And as Jay said, it's chapter 14, NTI Romans. Yes, that's NTI. Judgment is the tool of illusion. and judgment was first used against an idea and against yourself. From that, judgment seemed to spread with illusion. But since all illusion is within the mind, judgment could not spread anyplace else. Whenever you seem to judge anything, any situation, or any person that seems external to yourself, you are judging an illusion of thoughts and ideas within the mind. Therefore, you are continually judging yourself. Since judgment is the building block of illusions, applying false meaning and making illusion real, judgment of yourself does this to you. It hides your truth and presents an illusion of you that isn't true. Each time you seem to judge someone or something, you are judging thoughts in your mind and thereby judging yourself. In believing your judgments, you believe you are what you are not. This is how your illusory self is made and upheld. To know yourself, capital S self, true self, to know your true self, which is your true desire, you must lay judgment aside. Remember that everything you experience, every person, every place and circumstance is a thought within the mind of you. And each judgment keeps the veil of illusion alive, which hides you from you. Also, remember that nothing is as it seems. I'm going to repeat that. Remember, nothing is as it seems. It is within the mind of you, thought up by you, for the purpose of having an experience. In that way, the only judgment that can be applied is that it is what it is. The experience is the experience it was made to be. It is the perfect reflection of a wish. It is everything you asked to see. In this way, you may be grateful for everything you have made. You asked a question, and you have discovered the answer. In itself, the answer to the question is perfect. Rejoice when you look on the world, for it is the answer to the question you have asked. And now you have your answer. You need not ask the question anymore. You need no longer be puzzled. You need not judge and apply meaning to the meaningless. You may put your curiosity to rest. You do not want love different than it is. For as it is love. And love is all you truly want. And now you see, you have sight. Now you may let go of your attachment to illusion. You may let go of expression of self-will. You may surrender any hidden wish to see differently. The answer that you asked for has been given. Be grateful for the answer. Surrender to it for what it is. It is not what you want. It is only what you wanted to see. And now that you've seen it, its purpose is done. Now that your attachment is released and your question has been answered, you can let go of the illusion that you do not need. That is what you're doing now. You are letting go of what you no longer have purpose for. Letting go of illusion is a glorious occasion. Celebrate that your lesson has been learned. As illusion presents itself within the mind that you are, smile at it, remembering the purpose that it had, and let it pass by realizing it has no purpose for you now. It has served its purpose for you. You do not want what you thought you might want. You want all God has given you instead. When the illusion seems real within the mind that you are, do Do not fear your experience. Remember that its reality is a statement of your truth, and rejoice that you are reclaiming your truth again. In knowing your true self, you know love without division. For the wholeness of love is the wholeness and fullness of you. And that's the reading. Thank you. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Shauna. I realized I was unmuted the whole time. That was beautifully read, Shauna. Thank you for preparing for that and bringing it into your heart. We could all hear that. You know, I think of the satsang that Jacqueline's going to do this next Sunday, and the satsang guest, Natalie, talked about how her seeking ended. And there's a time for all of us on our path when our seeking ends. When we lay down the weapons of our judgment. And we just rest. You know, the chapter starts off talking about judgment being a tool of illusion. But you might as well call it a weapon. Because it's an illusion where the infinite battle of good and evil is waged. And of course, part of the awakening process is realizing there is no such real battle. It's just in your head. You know, when we want something different than what it is, we're in desire and we're in lack. You know, our original desire for experience is to project, to have an experience that we made that was without creation. So the only way to have an experience without creation is to make one in our illusion. You know, there was an experience I had a few years ago of what I call no meaning. I was reading something at the time, very focused. I don't recall what book it was. But as I was reading the English words, black text on white paper, all of a sudden, language was removed from me completely. I didn't know English language or any language. This writing I saw on the paper was meaningless lines drawn that didn't mean anything. I don't know if you can relate to what I'm saying, but imagine writing in a language you don't understand, like Russian language or Chinese. It's just a bunch of meaningless scribbling on a paper. And I was shown that, you know, it doesn't really exist. We've made language up as a proxy to try to relate to other minds, which is necessary while we're in this state. But it is truly of our making. And I know these words you may be hearing me say are things we've talked about many times. But I think we're all progressing on our paths. And we're making significant progress in letting our minds go. And I really enjoy going back and reviewing truth, the basic truth, and re-looking at it again and again. And I find that's fresh and new every time I do that. And there's nothing old about it. Because truth for truth's sake, in my mind, never gets old. Because if that's what I seek in my heart, as I walk through this process with my brothers and sisters here in the Sangha and everywhere, letting it go, this is a holy, sacred process that we're walking on together. Nothing less than that. You know, such a simple idea that, you know, the things we see in our world are just judgments of thoughts on our own head, and that nothing is really what it seems. You know, we can intellectualize that, but doesn't it seem to take quite a few years to actually live that? You know, do we see one thing or do we see many things? we all go to the grocery store. Unless you have Peapod delivered to you, then you don't need to go to the grocery store. But you still see the groceries. And when we look at the grocery store, you know, we see thousands of different items and hundreds of people at this at the grocery store. You know, I used to people watch when I was younger, sit at the mall or just watch people, make judgments about them, stuff like that. No one's ever done that, right? Ever. No one's ever made any judgments about people they see. So these are just about thoughts in our own head. You know, when we move into love, we don't have the judgments. You know, one of the things that Regina said to me several times in the last several months about being lazy, which Regina, if you know her closely at all, you know she's the opposite of lazy. But she says that she doesn't want to get, you know, doesn't have the energy to invest getting upset about stuff or judging things because that just takes too much work. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, you are, you know, when we do get upset and react to things and get caught in the judgments about our thoughts in our own head, it does take a lot of energy, and it's very tiring, very taxing. It wears you down. And what a point to laugh, right, for us to remember that when we look at something, we're not seeing it. If we see it with judgment, we're seeing it with the mind. Anything but something we find wholly acceptable and wholly wonderful and wholly full of light and love. Anything less than that, we're seeing it with our mind and a judgment in our mind. Now that thing still is wholly wonderful and perfect and full of light. I'm talking about the things that you find that you want to judge, the horrible things in our world. You can still see as full of light and full of love. And you can only see them as actions that are based on a misunderstanding and still feel true empathy or maybe even the pain that is occurring in the situation, but you don't lose your seat in awareness and in love. You don't give up your seat. You don't yield your seat to judgment. Stay seated and rooted in that place of peace, in that place of love. And say, no, I'm not going to give up my seat for you, judgment. I'm going to stay in my own seat and you can find another seat somewhere else because I'm not going to be a part of it. The things in our world, like the teaching tells us, only seem external. They aren't, are they? Nothing's really external, is it? It's within me. It's within you. You know, there's a wonderful awareness game called Inside and Outside Sounds and Inside and Outside Sights. And it poses a question, what if these sights and sounds are actually happening inside of you? And that's a really neat game to play because you can close your eyes or just hear the sounds or open your eyes and see the sights. And there's an incredible feeling of closeness that I experience when I do that with the things I'm looking at. They feel inside of me and there's nothing that those things that are seemingly outside of me can do when I'm in that space that could possibly upset me. Now, this isn't putting up a wall or rejecting experience. It's the opposite. It's entering into my own thoughts so deeply that it's more like getting into the truth of the situation. Because what Romans 14:3 here is really talking about is what this practice can bring you to. It's just taking a moment when you're walking down the street, when you're sitting at your desk, to just realize the things you're seeing are actually inside of you. They aren't anywhere else. You know, we remember to laugh, right? As the Course in Miracles talks about us forgetting to laugh. We can actually remember to laugh and go, oh yeah, my little Lego blocks of judgment that are the building blocks, which are really weapons, like swords that cut, right? Judgment cuts. You can lay them down. We can say, no, I don't believe that's real. I'm going to look within instead and ask, who's the one that's making this judgment? Or maybe look at myself and go, wow, I just thought this person was only thinking about themselves and being self-centered. How dare they do that? When really, it's I am the one that's self-centered and doesn't think of anybody else. I'm projecting it onto the other person so I don't have to see it in myself. We need to practice this until we see everything as love. You know, recently I've kind of drawn a line in the sand in my own journey. I don't want to get upset with work stuff anymore. It's just kind of an exercise I'm doing. And being really, really vigilant, I'm getting up now at 5 a.m. and contemplating and meditating before my day begins. And I have done this in many points in my life. I'm glad to be back in a space where I'm doing that. It's been a little spotty lately. And what I find is with my increased practice of this vigilance, staying really aware of my thoughts, if I can catch, and I'm really doing it, catching these thoughts before they go to judgment, I can actually remain at peace because then I don't believe it. Once I go to judgment, I believe it, and then it becomes emotional at that point. And then I'm in the experience I definitely forgot to laugh, and it's not funny anymore. I'm upset, right? Because if you're upset, it's not funny anymore. You can't laugh. You're pissed off. You're not in a good space. You've believed a thought in your own head, and you've given up your seat that you were sitting in comfortably for a rude person to sit in and be. And now that's where you're sitting, as it's taken over the mind. You know, and what NTI chapter 14 Romans here reminds us is, it just isn't real. It just isn't true. I know that sounds so incredibly simple and basic, but it's not true. Our judgments are made up projections. They're just not true. You know, you ever had a friend or even yourself do something consistently and they just, they don't admit to it, right? My mother always used to do this. She'd always show up late to things, and she would never be able to admit that she did that. You know, there's such freedom in honesty in admitting your own judgments, or admitting you're critical or self-critical of yourself. Or like Jacqueline often talks about, you know, with the this perfectionistic judge that's sitting super ego in your mind, poking at you, setting a standard of performance and benchmarks that you will never be able to attain, and using that as a place to judge and hence believe your judgment, which again isn't true. So let's just close our eyes for a second and go within, and we're going to say to ourselves or out loud, my judgments aren't true. Just say that. My judgments aren't true. And let's open our eyes again. So I invite you to join me with whatever line in the sand you want to draw in your own life, of things you're simply not going to tolerate anymore about your thinking. You're done. You're not going to do it anymore. You're just not going to do that anymore. Whatever it is, think of one thing, a small thing even. My thing is like this thing with work. I'm done. I'm just not going to get upset with any of this stuff anymore. I'm just not. I don't care if I lose a client. I'm not. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to get upset anymore about it. I'm not going to believe my judgments about it. I'm just not. I'm done. I've reached a point where I'm done. I'm not going to do that anymore. I don't care what happens physically. I'll do what I normally would do if... I can't control everything. None of us can. We have to let go of all of that. What is the thing in your life that you think that you could definitely take on and say, I'm going to draw a line in the sand, and I'm not going to be judging, and I'm not going to believe my judgments here anymore. I'm just not going to do it anymore. What is it? Just, you could pick one little thing. It doesn't matter. and just make a commitment and do it. Look within, realize this is within you, because we're judging ourselves when we do that. We're judging ourselves. We're making our own life hell. Let's find. We don't need to seek anymore. Do you feel that peace right now? Do you feel it? It's here right now. There's no judgment in that space. It's gone. The more we believe these illusions, the more we keep them alive. And that further veils or hides and clouds this simple truth that's just there, smiling in the corner of the room, waiting for you to join them at the table. The restaurant's always open. That person will always be sitting there. They're just waiting. They're peaceful. It's you. That person sitting in the corner just smiling at the table is you. It's me. It's us. It's our true self. And there's no veils. You know, when someone screws over, right, or you act irrationally and you end up yelling at someone, or you have a justified grievance, or all these things that are based on believing these falsities, you've forgotten that nothing is as it seems. You know, we look at on television a mother leaving her kids in the car while she goes to Walmart and her infant dies in the car, or somebody taking a shotgun and killing someone in a car with road rage, or someone torturing someone, or a child being molested, or something that's just, we judge as horrible. We still have to see and can see perfection and light and love in both people. We can still feel the pain, true empathy. But we don't need to buy that things look like what they are. We don't need to believe it's an evil world and that I'm guilty and this is all just a bunch of crud. We don't need to believe that. It is not what it seems. The people doing these things are believing a thought in their own mind that is not true. They just are. You know, only our desire for the experience is what drives this. And it's an experience that's without creation. It's an experience we don't think we want to have responsibility for. It's a projected dream that we think we can judge that's outside of us. You know, NTI reminds us here that the only real judgment that we can apply is that the situation is what it is. Yeah, that happened. That's a judgment that can be truthfully applied. Yeah, that happened. But what you think about it is beyond that. You know, one of the things that we talked about in the second week of the fall retreat was the difference between pain and suffering. We talked about pain being the stimulus in the body that isn't necessarily optional. That's hardwired in our nervous system. It's made to be feeling, made to feel uncomfortable and unpleasant. However, when the mind immediately comes in and judges it as bad, we enter into what? 10 points to the person that writes it on the board first. We move from pain to blank. To someone, oh, Bev, you win the prize. 10 points, suffering. Yes, Bev won 10 points. Now, Bev, I don't know what you can do with those 10 points. I don't have a website where you can redeem it for gifts or anything, but it's just, you know, an imaginary 10 points. So that is the optional thing. The suffering is the optional part. It's possible. I'm beginning to experience pain without suffering. And it is possible. What do I want this experience to be? What do I want? What a great question to ask myself. What do I want? Right now, what do I want in an experience? Am I willing to look at my own crazy thinking, my own judgments, my own weapons of illusion, which are tools of illusion, which are really weapons that cut, they're sharp and painful and full of suffering because you believe them? You know, what do you do when a person walks up to you and says, hey, I got some swamp land in Florida to sell you? Now, for those of the people here that live in Florida, you're of course not going to fall for the scam because you're not going to buy the swamp land in Florida. You know it's a bunch of BS. But when we see one man taking a stick and beating another man, and we believe that there is evil happening here, and this is terrible, and this is horrible, or someone screws us over, that darn jerk, how dare they do that to us? We've believed our judgment. Now, it's not some guy selling you swampland in Florida, you know, it's just a bunch of BS. No, you got evidence and you're in front of your eyes, right? Because you heard on the news, right, that this is horrible and you know that this is a crime and those people go to jail and thou shalt not kill and this is just completely horrible, right? You believe all these judgments, you believe. Because you got your own sight is the evidence. But now let's go back to the loop, right? What you see or what you think is what you see or your perception, you know, and that in turn then becomes your experience. And then that's what you think again. It's just an endless loop over and over again, on and on and on, round and round. At any point, if you have a thought, who's the one thinking this? Or if you see an act of violence, or you see someone mistreat you, or you see yourself snap at someone for some silly thing they're supposed to do that they're not doing, or you have a perception about the world, you can ask yourself at any time, is this really true? And just a little gentle reminder, hey, it's me, the one thinking this. I'm the one thinking this. I have a choice here. I don't have to keep doing this. So we can turn from this sort of feeling like a victim of our own world to incredibly empowered and grateful for what we've made, which is not what we've created. Creation is true experience. What we've made is illusion through the judgment. We can be grateful for it by our willingness to look at it. By our willingness to look at it. Wow, thank you, dear God, for this person screwing me over. This has shown me the judgments in my own mind. Dear God, thank you for this person. Fill in XYZ slight that you have felt or insult or whatever. Thank you, dear God. This person not acting the way they should have, for letting me down. Thank you, dear God, so I can see these judgments in my own mind. Now you can get 10 witnesses to agree that this person's terrible and they suck and all of this stuff. You can do that. Everybody can get their little allies and tell their stories and gossip and get people on their side and all that stuff. Blah, blah, blah. If you want something different, if you want something beyond the endless war forged with these weapons of judgment, like Sauron hammering this evil ring, binding you in the darkness, this is what judgment is. You're hammering every little ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. Every hammer of that ring of binding judgment is when you give words to and you speak and you try to get allies to believe your judgments and get people on your side and all this stuff, that is just forging the illusion further, and you're going further down into this pit hole of belief in your own thoughts. You didn't stop to realize, wait a minute, I don't have to think this. I don't care how horrible the thing is outside of you. The mind will present to you the most horrible thing you can imagine ultimately. Look at what Jesus had to face. Look at what Buddha had to face. All of the masters. You have to be able to look upon anything and see love and light and see perfection and not lose your peace. You have to believe it's all inside your own head in order to do that. And remember, there's a choice between pain and suffering. You can experience pain. You don't have to be afraid of it. Don't have to be afraid of it. You don't have to make it bad so that you suffer. And Bev did get 10 points on that. Kudos to Bev. But we're all good. We all know that. So it's like we're invited to rejoice. We don't need to be, when Amma was asked about all of the wars and suffering in the world, what did Amma say? She said, I don't see wars and suffering in the world. I see love. I see amazing beauty. She got this. She understands Romans 14. She may have never read NTI, but she got it. When Regina looked on, and Elizabeth both looked on the smelly, what I judged as horrible living conditions by this little trash river in Chennai, they did not lose their peace. They still stayed in joy and saw perfection. I went into a near vomiting state, right? Because of the stench. One thing I did notice was these kids were actually happy playing on the side of this river. I mean, they've obviously gotten used to the stench. It wasn't bad to them anymore, but it was just when you see something so different than what you're used to, and you know, all of my judgments came up. And that was one of the things I realized is there was a lot of judgments there. You know, I don't need to judge it and apply meaning to the meaningless. I don't. I don't need to apply meaning to the meaningless. I can put my curiosity to rest. Do I want to see the truth differently than it is? Is everything love or isn't it? How much do I want to ask myself and look at myself? How much compassion am I willing to extend to myself for thinking and believing all these crazy judgments? Freedom is holding its hand out, extending, come on, just look. It's okay to let that go. Love is all you want. Love is all you can see. Now you see. Yes, 12. So letting our attachments to illusion go, we're giving ourselves permission. I give you permission. Dawn, I give you permission to let your judgments go. Isn't that nice of me to do that? Tony, Tom, everybody at the retreat house, Ron, Jacqueline, Gloria, everybody. Jay, talking to myself, I give myself permission to let go of my judgments. I wish I had somebody telling me that all along. Jay, it's okay for you to give up your judgments. That would have been nice to hear. I guess I got to tell myself that. Yep, Jacqueline, I give you permission. It's okay. You can go ahead and do that. I think you're already pretty well along the way, though. I just have had such a shift with all of this. It's really not a bad thing to let go of my self-will. It really isn't. I can do. It's okay. You know, like a little kid that was scared. And he's in a corner, all scared. And then the scary thing is gone. And then the parent comes over and says, little Johnny, little Jane, it's okay. It's okay. They're gone. That scary monster is gone. It's not real, okay? And then you see the kid just become peaceful again. Like, oh, it's okay to let that go. Oh, yeah, right. I can let self-will go if I want to. It's like, what would happen if I do that? Like the spirit of experimentation. Give it a try. See what happens. I mean, I'm really embracing all of this. And the big insight that all of these sort of awareness gains and practices and permission giving and daily practices bring you to is a point of training the mind. And a great analogy came to me during the second week of the retreat, which is the one I attended. It goes like this. Now, I'm bringing up a military reference here, because in the military, there is some they drill into your head certain training to get to program you to be a certain way, to fall back on your training, so to speak. When the like an emergency or the war actually starts happening, you go into sort of this rote habitual memory, muscle memory, you could call it. So by us practicing all these little tiny bits of awareness games and permissions and practices and just little inward lookings, glimpses, as I forget exact which is it, the glimpse practices, all of these things are incredibly important because they build this underlying reprogramming and habitual tendency, right? Locke Kelly's glimpse practices, Brian Tom O'Connor's awareness games, the Course in Miracles, every 15 minutes practice. All of these things are incredibly important to really pick one you like and use it, because it reprograms you. Because guess what's going to happen? Someone's going to screw you over. Or you're going to get all, you're going to be tempted to lose it on someone. Or get down on yourself or fall into depression or do whatever you're doing. And guess what's going to happen when this test comes back up in your life? Guess what's going to happen? You're going to fall back on your training. You're going to fall back on your training. Because you've been practicing the glimpse practices. You've been practicing the awareness games. You've been doing the Course in Miracles daily lessons. You've been doing whatever the daily practices that you're doing to have fun. Be with them. Be in this truth. You're going to then, you're going to have this awareness, this om will come over you, and you'll have the awareness in the midst of an emotional experience, and you will be amazed. You'll actually be able to remain in awareness and not get sucked into it in a way like you've never been able to before. And you'll go, oh my gosh, this is possible. I can actually remain in awareness when this emotional storm comes, either within myself or in another. I could remain in awareness. Like the eye of the tornado. You're not trying to make the tornado go away. You're just in the eye of it, unaffected by it. So NTI reminds us that it's an incredibly glorious occasion when we let go of illusion. I can imagine in my fantasy 100 angels going, yay, yay, person called XYZ1123 has let go of judgment, yay. You know, part of mind, part of this mind has let go of judgment. It makes it easier for all of us to do that. Because when we let go of judgment, we are letting go of illusion, and we're letting go of all of those weapons that cause all the suffering, because the suffering is caused from the belief in our own lies. And we can realize, yes, this was here to remind me. This was here to remind me. What NTI 14 invites us to do is, you want all God has given you instead. And all God has given us instead is incredible peace. Incredible fulfillment and happiness right here, outside of our judgments. And as we have other tools to help us, even when we do fall from this place and we believe our judgments and we fall into illusion, we can be in the experience and not fear it and not be afraid of it. When we can't maintain it, we can emotionally allow it, you know, which is like the end of the line. you know, if we get sucked into it, we forget all the stuff we're talking about right now, and you're just, you don't have your discipline built up to that level, and you do get sucked in, you can remember to allow it, emotionally allow it. Do not fear your experience. It's okay. This is happening. At any point, you can just choose to come back to reality and come back to the self, the true self, which you know and has been with you as that person in the table, in the restaurant, in the corner, just looking at you, smiling with this knowing smile, going, I know you. You want to come over here and hang out? I know you do. Come on over and hang out at my table of honesty and oneness with myself. Come on, anytime you come over here and hang out, we'll just be in oneness here. We'll be in that peace. We'll look at my own thought. I don't have to believe these thoughts anymore. I can just opt out. You know, like the little check boxes on the voting thing. I opt out. Or do you want Microsoft to send every keystroke and everything you've written? Well, no, I want to opt out of that. I want privacy. So you say you can opt out. You can check the box at any time. You know, yes, I lost it. Yes, that person seemed to have screwed me over. It's all, yes, yes, that happened. I don't need to be afraid of that. It happened. It happened. It happened. It's okay. It's okay. So that is the conclusion of the message from Spirit through me and for all of us and for me also to hear. I'm glad you were all here. Thank you all for listening. We're now going to move into actually just open sharing, and then we'll actually play a song after that. Actually, we contemplate first, I'm sorry, then we share. So we have a song now called This Could Change Everything by Francesca Battischelli. Go ahead, Dawn.
There's a fire inside, you can feel it burning. It's a neon light going like a furnace. And the night is long, but the world keeps turning. You gotta know it, it's not the end. Every new sunrise is one step closer. It's a sign in the sky that the fight's not over.
All right, chair dancing. That was awesome. Ah, good message. Romans 14. A lot of good stuff. Thank you, Spirit, for that. So we want to remind people that we do operate off of your donations. Andy, this talk could change everything. It was really good to meet you, Andy. I really enjoyed hanging out with you for a week. It was good to have another guy there. And, you know, there was three of us guys at the retreat. That's an all-time record. But all good. So anybody wants to share, also just a reminder about donations. We do operate off of donations. So please feel free to donate if you don't already do so. And now for the last 10 minutes or so, we're going to open it up to sharing for anyone that wants to share. And I see Carla's hand up. So go ahead, Carla.
Thank you, Jay. I'm shivering. I can feel it and I recognized it. That's usually ego. It's shivering. Ego is scared because I'm going to share this. I've been waking up for about a year to this realization of truth, and now I want to share it with people. Like, I hope I'm hoping you're sharing that. I've realized that whenever I have judgments come into my mind, they're not mine. They're the false self's judgments. And that I'm recognizing that when I not divorce myself from it, but I can see them not as mine. I can choose not to, whether or not I energize them. And when I realize the mind tends to want to believe that those thoughts, that's a mechanism that we're designed with as humans, because we wanted to learn to master our mind. I desire to learn to master my mind. And so I'm sharing this here because I want to make a stand, because I listen to the judgments that in their mind. They are not mine. They are just thoughts offered me by the ego thought system. I am the chooser. I choose which thoughts I energize. And I really would like to make a stand and see, pause, and choose. Choose. Just look at how I feel. Look at how I feel. And I can tell. I can see clearly who is offering that thought. Spirit, my true self, or the ego thought system that I've energized maybe for a long time and I'm letting go of now. Each moment. Each thought. You don't do it once and done. I think it's every thought. Will you pause? I desire to pause. Notice how I feel. Look at my internal wisdom, my divine alarm clock, which is my body. It's so beautiful. And choose to energize only the thoughts I think with God. So I want to share that in the group. It hasn't been a secret. I've shared with many people that I feel whenever I share in this group, it magnifies within me. Thank you so much, Jay, for sharing this and giving me this opportunity to live the truth. Thank you. Amen. Blessings.
Thank you, Carla. So well said. And you really, I feel like you're practicing it, you know, you're emphasizing that you have the choice and you're remembering it. And I feel your desire and your passion for it. Thank you for giving that to all of us. Does anyone else want to share? We got about 6 minutes left before the fellowship half hour. Go ahead, Susan.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank Carla for you know, just demonstrating your whole heart came through in the way that you expressed yourself there. And it was just beautiful. And, you know, it reminded me that, and everything that Jay was talking about is retraining the mind in order not to judge. And doesn't our mind just, you talked about the body, Carla and Jay, about the body responding to the mind. And isn't our mind just bursting to know and to follow that divine thought rather than that thought of the false self? I mean, it's almost like, you know, the doors and the windows all open up whenever we allow ourselves to do that. And the more often we touch into that, I'm finding for myself, the more often I touch into that throughout the day with the awareness practices and the glimpses and the, you know, as Jay was pointing out, everything that we do along the way is cumulative, and it also becomes our conditioning, our reconditioning. And this was such an important talk. Like Andy said, and the song said, this really can change everything. So Jay, thank you so much for bringing it to the table this morning. Very helpful. Thank you. And great reading, Shauna. I love listening to you read.
Yeah, ditto on that for sure. Does anyone else want to share? I'd love to hear from you. Shauna, go ahead.
That was just beautiful, Jay. I could see the spirit talking through you. You were just a beautiful conduit for that. Thank you. And this is so timely for our little community here in La Vita. And the thing that I looked at to be 100% committed to letting go of is projecting outward. When something happens that I react to, the habit is to project outwards, to figure out what they're doing wrong. And in front of all of you guys, as much as my ego is shivering, just like Carla's was, I'm going to commit to that. I'm going to look within. I'm going to use that to look within, not without, because that's the only way I heal it. So with great love and gratitude, this is going to change everything. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to join you in that too, Shauna, because when I made the kind of inner commitment to no gossip, right? I'm not going to talk to another person about another person, right? That actually proved to be harder than I first thought. And it's actually a lot harder. I mean, I think next to no one does this. But except Regina and a few other people that I may know. But I want to join you in that because I... particularly in our community here in La Vita, where there is such a tendency to want to talk about our thoughts about other people, right? That's just, in you know, we get a close community together, that's just going to happen. And it requires more discipline and more willingness. It digs deeper. Oh, Rhoda's here. Hey, Rhoda, good to see you. I met Rhoda spontaneously and some of the other East Coast ladies at Timbers Restaurant when we went there at the opening of the second fall retreat. I think it was on Saturday night, I believe, or Saturday or Sunday night of prior to the week. So it's good to meet you, Rhoda, and everyone else from the East Coast there. Well, looks like it's 9:30 now. I don't think we quite have time for a closing song. We will turn it back to you, Dawn, and get ready for our fellowship. I'm not sure if it's either Kate or George hosting it. Do you know who's hosting it today? Kate. All right. Kate is hosting it. Turn it back to you, Dawn.